What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee, and I'm here to talk to you about Two Loss Distribution. They are one of the most technologically advanced distributors in music. They distribute to more stores than any of the distributors around. They distribute, they give you 100% of your royalties. They only charge you $3 a month, and you have an instant option to get an advance from these guys. So if you're watching this and you want to be in the music business and you're trying to figure out how to get help, I'm here to tell you, go to twoloss.com and use the word GODS as your coupon code, and you get the first 3 months free.
And love, it's Rick the Negotiator.
And this is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And welcome to Artist Spotlight. Let's go. And today, Artist Spotlight powered by Two Loss Distribution. Go to twoloss.com, use the code GODS, and you get the first 3 months at no cost. And the rest of the... every other month after that is only $3. So shout out to Two Loss Distribution for supporting us, and shout out to you guys for watching. Like, share, subscribe. And yeah, man, we have a special guest today. This is someone who I've watched in rooms. I watch grow. I watch him brand himself. I watch him like really be like almost like, I want to say this. Tune in, Sean can't get mad at me because I know DJ Incredible and I know Sean Famoso, so I know him when they was promoters. I feel like this guy was kind of like a secret weapon that came into that moment and his LVRN was born. So everybody, let's give it up for Justice, a.k.a. Justice Wears Cool Pants. Let me see what kind of pants.
What's going on?
What kind of pants nigga got on? No, I'm fucking with you. Nah. So,
a little light work.
So, Justice, man, how did, I know we don't, this is Artist Spotlight, so we don't really talk about this, but I want to ask, like, how did you get in, how did you guys all link up to start LVRN?
I mean, the reality of it is, right, like, as the story goes, LVRN was birthed, I guess, for lack of better words, in a small apartment, but I had an idea, right? Okay. I had an idea. From inception, I always knew, like, I wanted to build something. I was talking about it earlier, like, obviously, you know, the Puff thing.
Yeah.
But, like, the Dame thing, they built a family.
Yeah.
And for me, I just felt like it was so cool, like, from a music perspective.
Me too.
Being able to make money with your friends and, like, making, being executive, like, look cool.
Mm.
So, like, with that being said, like, I had a vision. Didn't know how I was going to piece it together. But for me, it was just picking up like-minded people as I went.
So, was the vision to build something in music or just build something, period?
It was in music.
Okay.
Right? I didn't know how it would happen.
Got you.
But, you know, it started off with the Catalyst, you know, one of the first artists that I was working with, like a 16-year-old kid named Rory. And I was basically developing for like a couple years.
Yeah.
But I just kept hitting a wall in terms of just like not understanding the blueprint. Like I knew, you know, the textures that you need to be an artist. Like,
by the way, I want you to dive into, this is what Artist Spotlight is about. Yeah. You getting the weeds of what you figured out. Like, what was the wall you hit and what did you figure out in that wall?
So, like, this was, like, maybe 2012.
Okay.
So, the reality of it is just, like, again, YouTube was really just now being a thing, and we were having these success stories, right? We had Tyler come out, you know, which was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kendrick was doing his thing, with TD as a whole, right? And then, you know, in Atlanta and New York had ASAP Rocky and the ASAP movement.
Wow. Yeah.
And then from Atlanta, we never saw a sensation that went overnight like Trinidad James.
Yes.
Right?
That was actually the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So again, I happen to know Trinidad just being around, like, you know, like in the space, but like watching all of those stories that I said and figuring out what was the linear point, what was that meeting point that all these artists figured out.
Yeah.
Right? Which was juxtaposition.
Mm.
All of these artists that I said juxtaposed like who they were and what it is that they did against something that you wouldn't normally see. So I understood that. And I really,
like, can you give us an example just so I understand? Like, you have a clear example of what that is?
Yeah, like Trinidad James, you know, like, for lack of better words, he was a hipster.
Yes.
But he was a street nigga at the same time.
Mm.
Right? But then he was in the body of a nigga that had gold on, looking like, you know, the Martin.
Like a pimp. Like,
you know,
like,
what I'm saying?
Like Jerome. Like,
the
like
whole
a pimp
vibe,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But then, like, you know, then he put his video on Worldstar.
Yeah.
Right? So it was just like all the crashing worlds of, like, what
because Worldstar's more street.
Exactly.
More, yeah, yeah.
Exactly. So
gotcha.
It was just, like, one of these things. And same with Rocky, where it was just, like, you know, a New York nigga that sounds like he's from Houston.
Yeah.
Has white girls in his video.
Yeah.
It was just all these things that I've okay, cool. This is entertainment.
Yeah.
Right? Like the music is one thing, but this is entertainment.
Yeah.
So learning and understanding that, I'm like, all right, cool. The fabric of what it is that we're building, how can I make this make sense for me? Because what Atlanta artists technically do, up and coming artists, they just do these showcases and like they play for the same five niggas in every venue.
Yep.
And I'm just like, bro, this can't be it.
Yeah.
Like there's no way niggas is gonna make it out like this. Right? So I just had to sit back. And to be honest, I got introduced to Sean, you know, by a close friend of mine, Trayvon. And Sean and Tunde were the only ones that were like, you know, of my age, but still had one foot actually in the industry, but still in the street at the same time, right? Because I was fully in the street, like, you know what I'm saying? So I didn't have that rear view or like that peer view to like what's going on. So when we met, I was like, yo, like I have something special. You guys have something special. And I think that this would be better if we, you know,
came together. Gotcha.
And put our egos to the side.
So Rory was the first LVRN artist.
Technically,
because he wasn't, because you guys,
LVRN as you know it,
exactly, but he was kind of like the, because it felt like Sean came to my office and played me Rory, and I ain't gonna lie, I didn't get it. And by the way, that's why I liked you, and I like, because I always like when someone gets something I don't, so I'm like, help me see what that is, because when Sean came and gave it to me, I was like, I remember the day he played, I was like, I don't know, because I don't want to sign, I can't help, I don't want to sign something, so I was like, I don't get it, but then I saw it, and I'm not gonna lie to you, I was watching front row, because I was like, I want to see this work, because I don't get it, and it just makes you better, because now you're learning it, but like, I was just like, it felt like he was the catalyst that launched, almost, it felt to me, from the outside looking in, like, Rory was the catalyst that put you guys together.
Absolutely.
And then once you guys got together, you realize like, this might not work, but I think we do. And then that's when it was all like, it just took off from there.
The best advice I ever got, I was maybe 22 years old and I was in Los Angeles and I was having lunch with a guy named Chris Clancy.
Shout out to Chris. Tyler, the Creator Manager.
He was managing Frank at the time, Mac Miller. And he said, yo, listen, artists, fickle. They come and go.
Yeah.
But one thing you need to focus on is your soil. I was like, what you mean? He was like, focus on building a soil.
Mm.
So whenever you plant any tree, it's going to grow. It's going to blossom.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I'm trying to.
Yeah, I'm like, I want to hear that too. Yeah,
it makes sense. I'm trying to figure it out. But then, you know, in hindsight, I go home and I'm reflecting. I'm like, soil, Odd Future. Damn, Tyler, Earl Sweatshirt, the internet. Frank Ocean, it keeps going.
Yeah.
Taco.
Yeah.
Like everybody's just doing their own things. And I'm like, oh, let's pour into our unit.
Yeah.
Each of us.
Yeah.
Shit, what do you like, Tunde? Oh, you like business? You like cursing niggas out? Bet.
Yep.
Run that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Sean, what do you like? You like marketing? You were crazy and you like different stories?
Yeah.
Run that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Let's pour into each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's just kind of what it was. So now when an artist got into the fold, it also felt like they were part of a family.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And like, and that was, again, the inception of even why I wanted to be there.
Gotcha.
But again, you get lost because you're like, yo, I want to make this artist work. I'm going to make this artist work. And yeah, we want to make the artist work. But also, it's like, it's about longevity. Like, at the end of the day, I think like the best seat in the house is being an executive or being a producer because you have a million lives.
Exactly.
Right? You can keep going.
Say that again,
bro. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah. So, I mean, that was the best piece of advice I ever got from Chris. And that's kind of like our focus on what it is that we're building now.
Because it always feels like, to me, the thing I notice that I pay attention to is it feels like you guys at LVRN are like, okay, cool. We have LVRN, our artists, but then you also have LVRN, our company. And that's the soil. And you guys always plant seeds for both, right? It's like, it was like the first, I remember, you know, Sean and Tuna used to come to the studio all the time. They was always, and they always was watching, trying to figure out. But the thing I knew that they were good at was promoting parties, right? Because that's what
they were incredible.
Yeah, they were incredible at that. So it was always like, you guys just have to, but then what I think you brought was like, it's a texture to what you guys are promoting. Because I remember I still got the email when I sent to like 5 different labels, like, y'all should sign this record, Dance Like a Stripper. It was a record that Sean, they had, and it was like, but that wasn't, that's not the texture, right? It was almost like, you're great at selling, you're great at marketing, you're great at all of that, but you just have to find the product. But the soil is watered now.
Yeah.
So as long as the soil is watered, when that product come, nigga, we just embed them in there. And it, the crazy thing is, it feels like that. It feels like you guys have the understanding of what it takes in the new market to break and act.
I appreciate that.
So it, so what, when you're looking to sign artists, right, because it's the artist spotlight, right? Artists always are looking like, how do I get on? How do I get on? And I hate that part, by the way. And if you're listening to this, listen to this not for you, not for you to get to justice. Like, that's the part that pissed me off. It's like, when you hear him talk, you be like, I want to be like with him. And I'm like, nigga, he just told you how he became him. He just gave you the answer on how to be, and you still like, I heard that, but can I sign to you? And it's like, listen, guys, to like what he's saying. If you're trying to get on, you're wrong. But if you listen to what he's saying, he built it. He said, we knew what we knew the house we wanted to build. We knew what we wanted to do. And by the way, it is a revolving door.
Yeah.
So motherfuckers gonna come and go, right? And motherfuckers might come. It might not serve them like they think it's supposed to. But if it's serving another one, then we still straight. You know what I'm saying? Because now you can't blame. It can't look like we don't know what we're doing. So when you guys look at signing your acts, like, what is your approach? Like, what do you look for? Like, how's the whole process go?
I mean, for me, the first thing I look for is authenticity.
Okay.
Like, I think that's just what it is. Like, you know, we have this joke internally where I'm just like, I really don't sign niggas that can sing for real. Like, I really sign people that, like, I feel emotion. You know what I'm saying? From, like, and like the emotion comes from authenticity, right?
Gotcha.
If we look at our favorite artists, again, like, you know, we look at Marvin Gaye, we look at Lauryn Hill, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, these are artists that, like, Kanye, these are artists that you feel, right? I was listening to a song this morning, you know, Kanye said, you know, everything I am. Damn, hold on.
Everything I am is me, everything I am.
Yep. Right. And it's like, that's literally the point.
Yeah.
That's the nucleus of being an artist, where it's just like, if you find the DNA and you really understand who you are and you're authentic to it, everything else can cut through. It's not about the music. It's about people wanting to connect with somebody that they feel like can speak how they feel inside.
Yes. You speak from emotions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you can do that and then you make it look cool, you're God. I don't care if you can sing or not.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? to be honest, if you sing too well, I might not even want to hear the song. I want to be able to feel like I can sing it with you.
Yes.
You know what
that's
I'm saying?
Another
so
thing.
It's just like, and that's what makes hip hop so special. Like, cause it's like, you know, I see the arguments where people like, yeah, rap is in the bad spot, or I'm like, yo, no, you're not understanding. Like, it's follow the leader. That's just what it is. Where they're influencing because they have tapped into a part of themselves where they're able to connect to a certain consumer that feels them.
Yes.
So like, so when I'm looking for an artist, I'm looking for that authenticity, right?
Got you.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember when I first met Summer for the first time, she came into my office. She basically had some ballet flats on and literally looked like was about to die.
Yes.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But she had a guitar and like and some face tats. And I was like, those two things don't go together.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But then she sung and I'm like, oh, whatever you just sung, you wrote that and you felt that.
Yes. So it triggered you off top. Like,
she
I believe you.
You know what I'm saying? She barely even spoke.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, literally was scared of humans.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But when she sung, and again, very soft spoken, very soft singing. But like, I'm like, I believe you.
Mm.
And that's the difference.
Do you want, because it feels like Summer, Black, Rory, it feels like your artists all have this mystery around them, right? Would you ever want to work with an artist that is like just straight down the middle, no mystery, just promoting themselves, just going hard? Like, is that like, or is that like not on brand with you?
And this is the part of scaling, right?
Yeah.
And I think this is the chapter that we're in as a company, right? I mean, up until now, you know, everything that you've seen has been my taste, right? My personal taste, tends to be mysterious, right? Tends to be like, you know, introverted.
Yes, for sure.
Right. But I do understand that, like, as you're building, you know, I have other A&R, shout out to Red, shout out to Drew, shout out to Bryce. But like, I want now the artist that we're gonna sign is gonna be their taste.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we get something a little bit more down in the middle and we can push that and we can promote that. But yeah, no, absolutely. Like, I think what we've been able to do has been really cool, but like, I also I want I want a rap star.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never thought I did because, yeah, like, rap comes with a lot of shit.
Yeah.
But, like, because I...
No, it does. It does.
Rap just comes with shit I just, yeah, don't want. Like, yeah, I really just care about girls and, like...
Yeah. Having
and,
a good time.
You know what I'm saying? That's, yeah, really it. Like, yeah, like, rap, you know what I'm saying? Niggas talking about stepping on shoes, nigga moments and shit. I'm not really with it. But... I'm a student of hip hop. I love hip hop, yeah, more than anything.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So, let's just talk about this. Mm-hmm. So is it more like Lil Baby, Straight Street, or which? Because as soon as you said rapper, the first person went through my head was Childish Gambino. That's because he's a dope ass rapper, uh-huh, but he can sing. But so I was like, is that the?
No, again, that's more of my taste.
Yeah,
right?
I'm about to say that's not your taste. I was asking. That's what I was asking.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if you were asking me, like, I mean, what? What does Drake?
Mm.
Like, I'll take a Drake. Yeah. I mean, yeah,
we all who wouldn't?
Yeah.
But here's what I like. You can spell out why, though. Yes. That's what makes us what we do. Like, yeah, everybody, like, but you can spell out why, like, you will want a Drake.
Right.
So, because here's why I would want a Drake.
Right.
Drake, I've been saying this, he's a cheat code.
Mm-hmm.
He can say nigga, but he can wear a yarmulke, mm-hmm, right? Yep. Which means that. And he's from Canada, which, mm-hmm, means that he can kind of define what Canadian music is, mm-hmm, right? But he's in the South. Mm-hmm. He's with us. So it's kind of like he raps like he's from the South, but then he can rap on some, he can do some Caribbean shit. He can do some West Coast shit. He can do anything he wants because he's clear.
Drake is us. Drake is us.
Yes, he's
right?
clear.
As in, like, usually artists aren't well-traveled.
Yes.
That's who he is.
That's, yes, who he is.
Yeah.
Right?
You're right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, and also the epitome of it is like, if you understand music and music consumption, you can't be a superstar without having the females on your side.
Yes.
Facts.
Right? He understands that. He understands that through and through. But also, more importantly, he likes the shit that I like, which is like Smack DVD, like the essence of hip-hop.
Yes.
So he understands all those
of
things.
It. Yes.
So he's well-rounded. So that
and he can do it all. It's, yeah, like, yes, it's like, yeah, if you're from the West Coast, you come to the South, like, it's still people from New York that give pop.
Yeah.
Pac been gone 25 years. There's still some OGs from New York. It's like, he ain't from LA, he from New York. Like, it's like, so it's different, you know, but he was able to go to Houston, to Atlanta. And I think he also solved the cheat code where he could say, you could put me on a record. Like, who can't Drake do a record with?
Anybody.
He could do a record with Lil
Durk genre.
Or Adele. Like, you know what I'm trying to say? He could do a record with anybody, mm-hmm, because he can be anything, which is also dangerous. It's also dangerous because when you could be a lot, you want to be a lot. He's the only one. Because another thing we don't speak enough about is that as everything he does matches the character,
mm-hmm,
that he plays. Like, you
he goes into phases.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. There it is. So, yeah, I'm like, so sometimes it's like, yo, like, he can go in and out of character. Like, I like Nothing Was the Same Drake. Like, I like that Drake. I like, so you might like the Drake that when he did the party album.
Right.
The,
you got the emotional,
yeah, the
Drake.
Nevermind.
You got the,
honestly, never mind.
He wants,
right,
to be a spitter. He wants, yeah, to be, yeah, yeah, he
so
got
he
that version
all,
of himself. Man. And then it's like.
That's why I said I think, yeah, anybody could have him. But I want to, yeah, know, like, what do you, like, what obviously, this is like a weird curse. Like, why would you want Michael Jordan on your team? But it's like asking an actual coach.
Yeah.
Like, I can put him in the paint. You know what I mean? So I'm asking you.
Why would I want Drake on my team?
Yep.
I mean, I think, like I said, I think that, like, when it comes to also the music, he cares about the music at the end of the day. Like, Drake will give you the eras. Like, he'll give you Certified Lover Boy. He might do the little swoop in his hair, and he might have the braids era Drake. Like, whatever it is, he's gonna give you that entertainment aspect,
yes,
of it. But the music,
yeah,
I mean, the fundamentals are there.
Yep.
At the end of the day, like, he understands he needs his producer. 40's there, right? Boy One is there. You know what I'm saying? 1985 is there. Like, he has his producers. Then, you know what I'm saying, when it comes to, like, the songs, he writes songs.
And I was about to tell you.
The nigga writes songs.
But I'm going to push back right there, mm-hmm, a little bit. Drake is probably the most unique songwriter in music.
Yeah.
His hooks are wordy, right? Everything that they tell a real songwriter to do, he doesn't do. Like, Drake will rap for 36 bars on a song, mm-hmm, but it's only because he'll give you a melodic break in the middle of the, mm-hmm, verse where he might just start singing. And then I always tell people, I'm like, Drake has more than one voice. And if you want to be successful as an artist, you have to have more than one voice. So he, mm-hmm, can give you, like, the Southern Drake. He can give you these things because people will get bored.
Yeah. I never even thought about that. Yeah,
people will. No. Yeah. In Tehran, well, Tehran was like, so even if you listen to, like, here's a great example. Listen to Controller.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear Controller as an American, you naturally think it's a Caribbean record.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how I heard,
yeah,
it. And Tehran is like, bro, he's singing in a Caribbean accent, No, he's singing a Caribbean melody with an American accent.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, so it feels like a Caribbean record, but he's like, never again, I'm an American shawty. Them girl, I'm doing that, mm-hmm. you nothing. He's not singing in a Caribbean accent.
No.
He just is singing in the Caribbean flow, so it feels like it.
Using
so
some Toronto
so it's some,
lingo.
It's some cheap yeah, shit. Yeah, it's like, he the only one that can do that. Yeah. Like, it's so, I mean, I think other people can now, but that's what makes him unique. It's nothing he can't do. I also think that that's why people attacked him, because everybody realized we live in a box.
He does. And he does. He's the only one that does.
It's kind of like, it's kind of like, you know, like, damn, this nigga really, he don't have did to play by the same rules.
Did everybody really attack him, though?
Well, you know, it was like the Avengers. It was they called it 20 versus 1. But I think, from the inside looking in, it always felt like, it's almost like we in the hood, right? And I'm from the hood. I hated those kids that hung out with us that had their daddy in their house. I hated them. Why the fuck you with us? Mm-hmm. Not even your daddy. Your mom and your dad had jobs. So, nigga, we fucked up over here. Why you want to be on some hood shit? Nigga, mm-hmm. we trying to steal and do this dumb shit to get to where you at and you there. It just never made sense. And I feel like, to me, that's what I feel like happened. It was almost like, this nigga don't got to do what we got to do.
Yeah, but also, like, all right. So, like, the reality is, like, the nigga has been number one for, like, 15 years.
Yes.
Right? And, like, that just is what it is. That's what comes with it. But, like, the reason why, like, it's interesting watching, like, this whole Drake thing, and I don't want to go on a tangent.
For sure.
But, like,
Justice, you, this is a special episode of Artist Spotlight. I want you on That's Debatable. Like, I just like talking to you, so I want you to do your Justice thing. Like, let's go.
Yeah, I mean, so, like, all right, so like, it's interesting, right? Like, again, like, everything is prophetic, right? Like, I was listening to Drake's first album, his first commercial album, and, you know, the song Light Up. Hov says, Drake, here's how they're going to come at you with silly rap. He was trying to distract you.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. Why I love Drake is that he never runs from a fade.
Nope.
He never does. But Hov warned him.
Yes.
Because there's a certain nigga that's going to come around that, unfortunately, is just not built for you to win.
Yes.
Not to say you're not capable or you can't rap with the nigga, but it's just, like, the timing of everything just can't work.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And when and Drake has been, the Kendrick and Drake, they've been going back and forth for a minute. And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But like, when he went into it, I'm like, Drake, this is the worst time.
This the one person you,
this the worst.
One this the one person I don't think you could.
Not even that, the timing of it, my nigga.
Why you say timing? I want to know.
Because Drake has been on top for so long, people just already want to see him lose.
Mm.
So the timing of it, he didn't have the momentum. Right? Like, it's like the undercard versus, like, the, you know, the main nigga where you're like, yo, like, we want, you know what I'm saying? Like, and Kendrick is quiet. Kendrick represents something completely different. And it's just like, this is not the vibe. But, like, for lack of better words, I think that he could have avoided this. He could have avoided everything.
How?
I'm curious.
I gotta hear this. How?
How could he have avoided? Yeah. Nigga, don't take the bait.
But didn't he let the bait? Then he let the bait on first person shooter, like,
first person shooter, yeah, but like, how many shots is Kendrick throwing out there?
Okay, so here's I love what you
keep doing the subliminal.
Here's what I think happened. What I think happened that made it the wrong person is that, like I said, I started this. You're a cheat code. You can say nigga, but you wear a yarmulke. You can do both. You get invited to the Jewish events and you can say nigga at the nigga events. That is a cheat code like never before. But you aren't. It's two things he ain't that we take the most pride in. He's not American and he ain't black. You're black, but you're not.
He's half
like black. I said, you can still do
he's
that.
He's not Kendrick black.
He's not
Kendrick. No, he ain't that.
He ain't
Kendrick is
and
black.
That's my point.
Yeah.
And my thing. And by the way, to me it's like and you and Kendrick is also very successful, but he doesn't talk about money.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So Drake is like, he's of the Jay-Z mindset where he gonna brag on what he had. So even when Rick Ross dissed him, and this nigga said, he made everybody feel so fucking, it's like isolated. Like, you got a plane that you wrapped. No, you can't do that, bro. Like, just cause you the only one with a 767. Like, you forgetting. And I feel like he was so rich, so disconnected, and so not around, my opinion, real niggas. Yeah. I ain't talking about, you know, I'm talking about, like, we real niggas, but I'm talking about, like, you got those real niggas. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, bro, that's gonna happen. And I feel like as soon as it came, I would have said, that's not the thing to do.
Yeah.
He's the one person to me that could beat you, because he's the one person that never played the game you played, and you still love him.
Yeah.
And if you look at it, he's more talented than you. you're more digestible than him. You're Chick-fil-A. He's Nobu. Nigga, you sell it. Everybody go to Chick-fil-A. Everybody. No, no.
Let me tell you why.
Chick-fil-A sells more chicken sandwiches than anybody.
Yes.
You love the service. It's a great family option, right? Drake is that. Kendrick is Nobu. Drake is making records and 40 is finishing it off. You could tell Kendrick is in a, he's in a time period. Everything he does is a time period. So to me, he's like, he almost like he sits back and watching. Is like, he's like Daniel Day-Lewis. Like when he comes out, you're like, what is he gonna do? Oh my God, he's so talented. He's so special. He's so different. When Drake comes out, it's like, oh, we know what he's gonna do. He's gonna brag on the bitches he fuck. He's gonna brag on how much money he got. He's gonna brag on that. And in the 2024, when the economy is fucked up, we don't wanna hear that, Canadian nigga. Like, you should know better. And then here come a real nigga from Compton. Oh, you, it's the what? It was nothing he could do to win that battle.
I struggle with that, right? But also, like, super side note, like, I think Drake needed this.
Agreed.
Like, because, like, if you study anything.
You think so? I want to hear why.
Because you get comfortable sitting at the top, yeah, man. You get comfortable. And you're not as sharp. You're not a perfect 10 no more.
But hear me out.
Because almost like you don't have to be.
But can I say something, though? Did anybody not see that coming from our culture?
See what?
The way he was moving, right? It's like, we rich. But hold on, you.
But they didn't pay attention to it.
I think they saw it.
I think they might have, but if he's at the top and we need him to get there, they're not going to say nothing. So it's almost like intimidation, but he's too powerful. We feel
that's
that
my
way,
point.
But we can't say anything. But, and Kendrick said, fuck that. I'm letting it out.
He's
and
the
then
only person.
He kind of cleared the way for everybody, and then it was a free fall.
Well, Pusha T dissed him. Everybody, he answered Pusha T by saying, I can't believe this nigga is the one. Yeah. He looked at him like, how dare you? You see how high I'm flying? And Kendrick is like, I'm flying just as high. Not as high as you, but high enough where you can't see it from the ground.
It's a difference. I think, like, Kendrick has his voice is magnified enough to where, like, this is not gonna fly under the radar for, like, just rap fans.
Yeah,
right. Mm-hmm. Like, this is gonna make CNN.
It's like a nigga like, oh, you wanna spar? Okay.
Yeah.
And then a nigga hit you. Boom. Bitch, hold up. Get up, nigga. Get up. Like, he's like, I really think that's what happened. He thought it was gonna be some fun dick, you know, like, who got the biggest dick thing. And Kendrick was like, no, nigga, you're not like us. And I told people, and I was like, when I saw Not Like Us being, like, played at the Harlem Renaissance, when they was doing the Harlem, and it wasn't the song, it was the beat, it was musician, brum, 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 brum. And it's like, everybody in the audience is 40 and up. I'm like, oh my God, I don't think he needed this. I think he's in trouble.
No, he needed this.
Let me tell you what, I think he's in trouble, and I think that the only way I just don't know if he's gonna do what it takes to come back. He needs to have a humble reset.
I think he is.
Come back, where is he gonna go? Who's competition for the nigga? The reality of it is, right? Like, if we were talking about this in 2005, I'm like, yeah, the nigga's in trouble because there's so many nice niggas out there that's going crazy, right? But, like, my man has been chilling for so long. It's really, literally, there's no competition, right? So when you say he's in trouble, I'm like, he's not. He needed some resistance. He needed to remember why he does this, right?
True.
Like, I think that if you look at Drake's life and, like, how music has been going, I think that, like, he's lost inspiration.
Okay,
right?
Okay, so let's say this. So my thing is this. But I also believe that he's sensitive. I believe that you know in rap you can't be sensitive.
I think the best rappers have been sensitive.
No. You gotta be a real nigga. You can't, like, you gotta be like, Tupac was sensitive, but he got on track. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, I just think that, like, I could tell, like, he probably is like they say, mad, him and LeBron beefing. And when I was on Joe's show, Joe was like, but it's like, he's beefing with LeBron because he danced to the same song the whole world is dancing to. At this moment, nigga, you got to take that you took an L and come back, like, with a nigga that took an L, not be like, it's like a bully. It's like when Debo got his ass, but we ain't see him no more.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
it's like,
I mean,
nigga, you got beat up. Nigga, you got knocked the fuck out. Nigga, go home, come back tomorrow,
right,
or don't come back. Because you can't come back and bully somebody else. Because all we going to say is, Craig, Craig, Craig. Nigga, he can't say nothing if he brags on how much bitches he got. A freak-ass nigga, yo, fuck. He killed him. He killed him to me. Kendrick, to me, that was like some art of war shit that I think they're going to study from 100 years. To me. I just think that it was one of those, like,
no, I mean,
how do you slay a giant, my nigga?
That was masterful.
How did you slay a giant, my nigga?
That was masterful. He was tactical. Mm-hmm. And and he did it with impeccable timing.
He can't come to Atlanta because he already called. He called every play in your playbook.
Listen, Drake can do everything, right?
If, like, Drake comes to Atlanta and does a record with somebody, they're gonna be like, he's chased.
I understand all that, but like the reality of it is, again, once we get back to the core of music. And this was before Drake became Drake. Once we get back to the core of music and Drake gets back to his core, which is women.
What's good, y'all? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Coastal Referee. And I want to ask you, are you ever frustrated with uploading a video to YouTube and you get no views? I know I was when I first started. If you're a music artist and you have your own podcast or your content creator, look no further. WAM Promotions has gotten you covered. They specialize in high-end targeted YouTube campaigns that deliver real views, real subscribers, and most importantly, real growth. So if you're struggling with real organic YouTube growth, I'm here to tell you to go on WAM Promotions and use the promo code GODS and receive 20% when you check out. Tell them Ray sent you, you got 20% off. Let's go, guys. I'm looking to see you guys on the charts. Let's go.
And he starts making those records, all these niggas are going to forget again.
Can I tell you something? I'm going to challenge you. Ja Rule, 50 Cent. Ja Rule was making smashes.
Yes, yeah. But I don't think he was ever as big as Drake was. Drake is on the final on a different plane. Hold on. And I think because of he'll be able to recover. Ja Rule couldn't recover.
Because
he
Drake.
No, it's not. I'm going to tell you why it's not. Can I tell you why it's not? Y'all got to remember something. Not only was Ja Rule a huge superstar.
Yes.
Irv Gotti signed the biggest superstars of that time.
J-X and Ja, all three.
So Irv was also a big producer. Ja was also a big songwriter. He was huge. My nigga, what I'm trying to tell y'all is that the music don't feel the same no more after you get a loss. After you take a L, it don't feel the same because the music is like we listen to a champion. Mm-hmm. Right? It don't feel the same. And if he didn't, is he going to have to come with a 444 style album? Like, he got to have to come with an album where he addresses it all. He got to apologize in French. My bad for saying. Like, he has
now,
to do that.
I agree with that.
Now, if he does that, I think he comes back. Because but if he just come back and just make another, it's nothing he could drop, right? He could drop Nice for what?
He tried that.
And niggas are still be like.
Burner account. And nobody paid it no
nobody
mind.
Cared.
All the records. Nobody paid it no mind.
He didn't drop a Nice for what? Come on, guys.
No. I'm saying he dropped records.
Let's stop this.
Like, he didn't drop records?
Let's stop. He's dropped records. Actually, one of them is catching a circadian rhythm. That one's catching. Right, but like, listen, I'm not here to cape for the nigga. I'm just saying.
No, I mean, but by the way, I'm not either. But this is to me, I feel like this is like political banter about our superstars.
Yeah.
To me, it's like from the inside because it's entertainment to you, but for me, I'm looking at it like I'm really looking at it like, how does he come back? And people saying he's not gone. He drops 100 gig. Genius. Remind us of the 15 years, the memories. Give us shit that you never gave us. Mm-hmm. But then the part of us is like, why you never gave that to us? Nigga, what the fuck are you hiding? Like, so I feel like in today's world, he gonna have to come back and do a humble reset. I think if he does, Jay-Z, when Beyonce dropped that motherfucking
Lemonade
album, and the whole world was talking about who the light skinned girl is, Jay couldn't come back and just make records. He did a whole album responding to it.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I mean, I think if you know anything about Drake, that's inevitable, right? Like, he wears his heart on his sleeve.
When
right?
does he do it though?
Huh?
When does he do it?
When he's ready.
No. No, you're a strategist. No. See, Justice, you run corporations. Wait.
You want him
when to, does he? I'm asking you.
When
if,
does he,
if he's on LVRN, when does he do it?
I think you let Kendrick have his moment.
Oh, that's my. I'm glad you said that.
You let Kendrick have his moment.
So when does the moment stop?
After the Super Bowl, after the album, after the Grammy, after the album, after the Grammy.
See, you see what I'm trying to say? It's almost like I got it. So it's like you're basically saying. Give him the next year.
Let him rock.
Let's sit quiet. But it's like, nigga, in this world, they forget about you.
Nobody's forgetting about
Drake. I'm saying in this world, they will, though.
Yeah, but he has to be
smart. Listen. Okay, just let me tell you what I mean. It's kids right now in elementary school saying, probably A minor. Nigga, they're going to remember that for the rest of their lives. They're going to be adults one day. And they're going to be like, ain't that the dude that was messing with? I'm telling you, it's like he got dirt on his name now. I'm just saying you got to clean that shit off and you got to come back and fight somebody else. You just can't walk away like nothing happened.
No. I think the reality of it is like, let Kendrick have his moment, right?
That's what I'm saying. I'm with you on that.
Also, bow out gracefully. Give the nigga the W. Take the air out of that win.
Yep.
Because right now, the reason why it stings so much is because he hasn't just acknowledged the nigga.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, acknowledge the nigga as like, yo, you got, fam. You got it, fam. No round twos, none of that. Like, you got it.
Mm-hmm. But then it goes back to what we said, just about him being sensitive. If he's sensitive, then he can't get over that. He still can't believe they did that to him. Hey, nigga, it happens to everybody. You better get the fuck over yourself. But when you the biggest nigga in your whole country, he's the most famous person from his country. Mm-hmm. You know how big that from your whole country? It ain't like a small country.
World, right.
That's what I'm saying. But you are the most famous person from
Canada.
Canada. Yeah. And then you got another, the second most famous nigga is clicking up with them.
Yeah.
So it's like, what are you doing wrong? So to me, it makes everybody look at you and you.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the reproductive rights amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
You can't just come back and rap about a girl you just met and how you having a good time. Because everybody going to sit back and be like, you ain't going to talk about that Kendrick shit, though? Like,
well,
Meek had to.
But you can, though.
He has to. I don't know if he is, though.
I think he has to.
I don't know if he is. That's
you
what I'm saying.
You think he has to what?
He has to at least
acknowledge it.
He has to acknowledge it. And
well,
he will.
It's either going to be track one or the last track on the album.
You think so?
Again, study his catalog. Every album, he always lets you know how he feels.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that
he's angry.
But do you think he's going to let you into what happened?
Yeah.
That's what. If he does that, I think he has a chance. He has to do that, though.
He can't. He doesn't know how to not.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing, right? Like, I think right now, because there's no body of work to support how he feels, all we just see is like social media vibes.
Yeah.
But like, if you listen to his music, he doesn't know not how to let you feel. So like, like Drake is always a person where he's vulnerable through his music, and that's what's made him who he is.
Got
right?
you. For
it's
sure.
It's the same language Kanye speaks.
But isn't it vulnerability through strength? Is it like, isn't it like I'm better after that? You see what I'm trying to say? Like, it's always like that girl, and he might say a girl hurt him, but he still is like, he still always comes out as the champion. This case, he has to walk out not being a champion, and I don't know what that looks like.
I mean,
he don't know what it looked like. It's first for
nigga, because you gotta have to wait until February next year.
It takes a second.
You know what I'm saying? At least
you talking
February
about after Super Bowl,
year,
after Grammys,
after the Super Bowl,
so
after the Grammys.
We're talking March.
You
March
shit on the Grammys. You shit on. So you they. So it's like you gonna have to wait till, because you know that they gonna put on for this nigga.
You know it. It's coming.
And then let's not see Lil Wayne come out there and perform with Kendrick.
That'd be nasty work.
Super nasty.
Why wouldn't he?
Super nasty work.
You see what I'm trying to say? So then it becomes like, it's almost like, it's like, damn. But back to what we're talking about.
That's like,
by the way, I'll tell everybody, this is literally, if wasn't no cameras here, we would literally be in the office having the same argument, like, hey.
Yo, if Wayne does that, he's fucked. Jake's fucked. Jake's completely fucked. No question.
He's not fucked, yo.
Nah, if Wayne came out with Kendrick, Drake is fucked.
Listen, Kendrick Lamar. Kendrick Lamar.
I want to hear it.
Kendrick Lamar put on a masterclass of being a rapper.
Yes.
I think he won a lot of people over. Right?
Yes.
The respect, it's immense now.
Yes.
Right? Like, if you weren't sure about Kendrick, can he make a record?
Oh, no, he's
made
dead
a record.
Yes. Yeah.
He made a record.
Yes.
Can Drake be touched? Yes.
Yes.
We learned a lot.
We learned a lot.
Mm-hmm. We learned a lot.
And by the way, if we learned a lot, what the fuck you think he learned?
Yeah.
That 767 can't save you.
No.
That $100 million mansion can't. He put the mansion on the artwork. Like, he's letting you see, like, you know what I'm trying to say? It's like, nothing can save you, my nigga. You got to come back. You damn near got to come back and fight this nigga again. Like, I don't even think it's over, my nigga. Like, dog, I lived in the projects with bullies.
Right.
When a bully gets taken down, that is it.
Here's what I'm saying. The reason why Drake will be fine, and Kendrick is obviously doing what he's doing, but the reason why Drake specifically will be fine is that Drake has the same thing that to his fans, his core fans, that Kanye has, which is their hearts. It's a different connection.
Period.
Drake's fans are connected to him differently, right? That's something Ja Rule never had. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We liked records.
Yes.
But we didn't know.
Y'all be I'm a New Yorker. He's right. Listen, I love Ja. You know that.
We didn't know the ins and outs of this nigga's life. You know what I'm saying? Like if you're a Drake fan, you know the ins and outs of his life. So he has the hearts of people, right? And also the fact that now he has now flipped into being the underdog gives him a little extra edge.
Last thing I want to ask y'all. Last thing I want to say. Uh-huh. When you come out and you say, what's the big beef? When Meek was beefing with Drake and he took the L, you had to come out. You have to address the battle,
mm-hmm.
right? My only thing is that I don't know if he... Because you got to address the battle on music, or you got to address the battle on on an interview. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's going to talk to nobody.
No, if he does, it'll be on record.
It has to be a Charlamagne. Mm-hmm. It got to be somebody who we're like, oh, okay, he's really going into the lion's den to fight. But I don't think he's going to do that. So it's going to have to be music.
No, it has to be music.
Yeah.
And if I actually don't want to see him talk to anybody.
And if it's going to be music, I just feel like, what the fuck can you say? Like, to me, it's like, you said everything. When you said, this nigga trying to free the slaves, this nigga came back and said, homie done doubled that. Like, my nigga. But that, to me, it's just like, you have no strategy. Get over it. It's that plane can't save you. None of that shit can save you. I don't give a fuck how much money you got. None of that can save you. Because this, at its core, is hip-hop culture. And hip-hop culture has been always built on competition.
Mm-hmm.
And,
it is.
And nigga, you just competed against a nigga. And you done slid. You ain't even got touched mm-hmm. by a nigga before. Like, you ain't got, like, people say he lost Pusha T. I don't know how. When 50 Cent, hit me out. When 50 Cent did Wanksta, from now on, when you hear Wanksta, who do you think
oh,
about?
Oh, no question. Ja.
Ja Rule, has he done anything to prove to us no. he's not a Wanksta? Right? Right? Everybody say yes, right? Right? Would you say that? Has Ja Rule done anything no. to prove? Okay. What the fuck? How is Drake going to prove that he's not with everything Kendrick said? Come to Atlanta. You want your, you what do you call him? A colonizer, you can't colonize no
that
more.
That wasn't fair.
That you can't.
That wasn't no, fair.
It's the fair. Whole point of war.
Drake
is
has changed more niggas' lives than anybody in hip hop.
And can I tell you how we look at it? Now that's a great way to look at it. But then when you start looking at it from the other side,
mm-hmm.
the other side is that's how I thought about it. But then when you start looking at it, like he did the same thing. It's almost like rape victims. Like he got on your record.
Yo,
he
jumped what? On,
no, hear me out. 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 Real quick. It's like. He did what? Oh, he got on your record too? And he got on the first verse? Oh, okay, cool. Damn, he got on your record, told you he was your bro, and then he didn't call you either? Damn, he did that to me. He did that to you? He did that to you? Oh, she did that to all of us? This nigga played us. And I think that's what happened.
Yeah. Nah. You got to debunk that. Nah, because that's happened to a lot of niggas, but also, like, a lot of niggas got money. They were able to get their moment, but their moment just wasn't here to stay. Drake got on my record. He got on Summer's record, changed my life.
Yeah.
Drake got on ASAP Rocky's record, changed his life. But Drake put Kendrick on his first album, changed his life. Mm-hmm. Like,
but he also took Drums, Cha Cha.
He did.
And he made it Hotline Bling.
He did.
So that's what I'm only saying that to say that it's some colonizing shit. It's like it's really like what do they call it? Switch.
Listen, the reality.
What do they call it?
Swiss Army knife?
No. The thing where they say where you like you love your abuser. What do they call it?
Stockholm syndrome.
Stockholm syndrome.
No. I mean, listen. The reality is, nigga, we love competition.
Yes, we do.
We love Jordan. Yes. We love Kobe.
Yes, we do.
As much as certain niggas might dab Kobe, like that's my favorite nigga. Somebody's gonna be like, I hate that nigga.
Exactly. Uh-huh.
In order to be number one, you gotta be fucking relentless.
Period.
That's just a fact.
Period.
So, as much as he's helped me, he's also hurt me.
That's what I'm saying.
Right? But who gives a fuck?
Because
I understand what it takes to be number one. Sometimes you got to just X the nigga out.
That's true. And by the way, you're 100% right. Yeah. I'm just saying that we got to stop looking at it like this culture is everything mm-hmm. to the world.
Absolutely.
Not to like America, but to the world. This culture is everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you came in a culture, you didn't get, you got to the top of it, and then we start looking around. Like, hold on, look at y'all. Where's Summer from?
Atlanta.
Where you from?
Atlanta.
Where Black from?
Atlanta.
Okay, cool. See, you don't see like you an Atlanta nigga mm-hmm. putting on Atlantans,
mm-hmm.
but you also got your deal in Atlanta, you got your business in Atlanta, mm-hmm. so it makes sense. Now imagine if you were a Toronto nigga and you was going to the States to get everything, basically taking what you could take, and you take everything back to Toronto. At some point in time, people look up and be like, hold on.
Nah, but that ain't right. Party, The Weeknd. Like, he's done shit for fucking Toronto, bro. That's not right.
No. I didn't say he do shit. No, that's all okay, I said. Okay. I'm saying that he's from Toronto, mm-hmm. but he got his sauce, his start, his everything from the States.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then you start looking at it like his house is in Toronto. He's surrounded by Toronto people. By the way, shout out to Boy Wonder, shout out to Mr. Morgan. All that's dope.
Mm-hmm.
But you forgot that you're making your money over there. And you got, and by the way, it's like a nigga not from your neighborhood getting money on your corner. You like him.
Mm-hmm.
But then you start realizing, hold on, this nigga, when we giving out turkeys, this nigga ain't gave out a turkey?
Yeah.
Hold on, this nigga ain't gave back to nobody? Hold on. yo, he got us. Then you start realizing, damn, because you recognize he needed them as bad as they needed him. Nigga, when he got to Future, nigga, I remember when that album came out, Future was like, but Future was hot in the street. So it looked like a commercial nigga was bringing a street nigga up. But what really was happening was a commercial nigga needed the streets. So yeah. He go fuck with the street. You understand what I'm trying to say? So what I'm saying is that
there's, it's always mutual.
That's what,
it's but, always
but,
mutual.
But it's not one is more bigger than the other.
No, well, yeah.
You think
bro.
So?
Yeah, bro. Like, what are we talking about? The nigga still, like, yes, I absolutely. Did he need the moment to hop on the song with the Migos? Yes. Did it help Drake a lot? Did it help us contextualize who Drake was? Him getting on Tony Montana, like, did it help us, like, oh, he's actually, like, dope. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Him standing next to Wayne, did that help? Yeah, absolutely. All that helps.
But he was dope.
It helps with his, it helps with the culture, credibility, and all that shit. At the end of the day, none of them records sold more than the records that he did for the women. If we're talking about it, at the end of the day.
There's no argument there.
At the end of the day.
Hold on, I'm thinking. I like talking to you. I'm thinking. I'm already thinking. I'm like, hold on.
Hold on, we're going home.
Find your love.
One dance. Diamond record. Like, let's talk about
okay,
it.
Okay, let's talk about this then. If that's the case, then women like that nigga. Right? Women like to be with that nigga. Kendrick just showed us that he's not that nigga, and now he has to show us that he is. He can't mess with nobody under 30 anymore. He can't mess with nobody under 25 no more. You like, dog, he literally carved out everything that made him super. He literally took the whole picture. It's a picture. Jets, bitches, money, everything. He carved you out. All we got is you now. You on the paper. Mm-hmm. Now what you gonna do? And I think that now people looking like, well, damn. And that's what I'm saying. But back to what we was talking about, man. I can talk. By the way, I can talk to Justice all day. I love talking to him because he got opinions like me. But back to what we were saying. So what made y'all sign Black? Like, what was it about him?
His tone.
I'm glad you said that.
His tone.
I heard his tone. I was like, this nigga is out of here.
Yeah. He sounded like nothing I heard in that space at that time. Obviously, like, it was like a renaissance in R&B.
Yeah.
And like R&B and hip hop were having like infusion.
Yeah.
Right? And there were a lot of people that were coming out, but I think his tone was such a unique tone. I was just like, man, this is something.
And I was going to ask y'all, because Black is the one person where I'm like, you can't tell me that you didn't sit down for at least half a second and say, what category do we put him in?
Yeah.
Because it's like, he's really not a singer. He's really a melodic rapper, mm-hmm. but putting him in the singing category kind of gave him his own lane.
He's in the lane, yeah.
That was brilliant, by the way. That was brilliant. Lane. Because it's like you carved him out like he's a singer. So even if we're trying to figure out what it is, what they said, mm-hmm. he's a singer. He's not in rap caviar. Mm-hmm. He's in R&B. You know what I'm saying? So
And that's something I learned early. Again, like when we're talking about like the Rory situation where it's just like it's an alternative kid. Right?
Yeah.
He sings, he raps, he plays guitar, all the whole bunch. And like we were saying, oh yeah, we don't want to be categorized. Boom. I'm like, nah. I learned that mistake.
I did too.
I learned that mistake. I'm like, nah, this is what you are.
Yes.
Let the people know what you are.
Yes.
Stand on it. And then once you get your tree, then you can branch off.
Yes.
But until then, this is what you
are.
Well,
I'm glad you said that because a lot of people want to be everything. Yeah. And it's like, you could be everything eventually.
Yeah.
But you got to come out and say, I'm this. I also think that's what hurt Ja Rule. He was a rapper, but all of his hits was singing.
Oh, yeah.
And a heck of a rap nigga saying, dude, this nigga even rap? Nigga, you a singer.
I never heard that nigga in the basement.
Yeah.
And this is what Ja lost because what happened.
I never heard Ja Rule.
It was crazy
basement.
Because right after that,
right
after Wayne's all that stuff and he's saying, he comes back with a song, Clap Back, where he went away from the women.
Yeah.
And he went to rap and it wasn't received.
And it threw it off.
Because he went away from who he was.
That's what I'm trying to tell Justice.
That's what messed him up.
Your boat got rocked.
Yeah.
How do you come back? Because you have to come back slightly different because the boat got rocked, but you can't come back. You can kill yourself in the comeback. So when Ja Rule comes, we're going to clap back. And then he does the New York street record. And because you was in the pop charts. He could have just kept going there. But he went, let me get up this pop tree and go deal with this street shit. And then 50 Cent tricked you to come off your tree.
And took his stuff and made a bunch of singing records.
No, he took his stuff up your tree and now he got it. And now you're like, what would I be without you? Nigga, you're fucked.
Yeah.
You're fucked. That's what you would be. So you guys expanded, right? You guys, I see you guys just took an investment for $25 million for LVRN. And when I saw that, I was wanting to ask, like, I feel like, and I'm guessing by the way, I feel like you guys got inside and realized we don't really need what we asked for. We could kind of, we could be Interscope.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, how do we be Interscope?
I mean, I think that was always the goal, right? Like, how we started, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, shit, I mean, Tune was your intern, damn near, right?
Yeah. My little bro, he just, he had full, he could come in any day.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, understanding that, like, we always wanted to be an independent company. We always wanted to be responsible for our destiny.
Yeah.
Right? But one thing that I believe that we had to go learn was infrastructure. How do we build out? How do we build an infrastructure? And I think that, like, you know, as young black executives, like, we don't talk about it enough, which is just, like, the reality of learning from people that have done it.
Yes.
Right? We always just want to figure shit out and just want to go crash out when you don't have to.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, for us, like, going into the building was understanding how these labels are run.
Yeah.
How do you build a company? How do you scale? Do you really realize that cash flow is very fucking hard to manage?
Very important.
It doesn't matter how successful you are. You can ruin your company if you don't know how to manage your cash flow.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right? So, understanding infrastructure and how to hire properly. Mm-hmm. What does your HR process look like? What is the company culture? Mm-hmm. So, we really wanted to go understand all those things. And, like, when it got to a space, we're like, okay, we still have more to learn, but I think we have, like, the fundamentals now.
Yeah.
We also have some wins under our belt.
Yeah.
We can
a lot really, of wins, not yeah, some, a lot.
We can do this.
Yeah.
Right? We can do this. And, like, and that became the transition where it's like, you know, obviously your deal's up and, like, do you extend or do you take another path? And I think we had to sit back and, like, yo, let's take another path. And,
yeah.
Like, let's really build how we wanted to build in Atlanta. We bought a new building and, like, mm-hmm. like, let's just really build the culture how we wanted to do with no attachments.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Do whatever we want. You know what I'm saying? And again, just like having like great examples, like watching what Top is doing. You know what I'm saying? Like it's incredible watching what you're doing. Like like being able to just move freely.
Yeah, for sure.
That's the future where we are.
I was just about to go there. What does the future look like in your eyes? Like to me, are you worried? I'm a little worried because I feel like there's so much money flowing that we're forgetting that you have to be a superstar.
Yeah.
It's like, everybody is rich, but it's like, you gotta be a superstar though to really get that status.
I think I had to redefine how I view it now, because being a superstar, I feel like it's an antiquated perspective.
Okay.
My opinion.
Okay.
I think that like, where we are, where we're heading, it's going to be a bunch of, and there already is, a bunch of subcultures and a bunch of niches.
Yes.
Right? It's how do you talk to your niche? Your niche gets so loud to where it topples over.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But the reality of it is that your business is going to be built on super fans.
Yes.
Your business is not going to be built on casual fans. Mm. Right? Because how people receive information is so scattered to where you can't control a groupthink.
Mm.
You just can't.
Yeah.
There's a hurricane coming today. Nigga, I didn't know there was a hurricane coming today till he told me this morning. Nigga, it's my life.
Yes,
right? Like, it's not an album. It's my life.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, so like when you sit back and you really think about that perspective, you realize that like, oh, okay, cool. I know we want the next, you know, superstar so bad, but it's just not gonna be that. You know what I'm saying? Like one of the artists that I signed, London. Oh, shout out to London. He's a producer from Lagos, and he's doing incredible things. And like he just sent me a record, from when he did a record with this Latin guy that I've never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
Nigga had 40 million monthly listeners. I was I've never heard of this nigga.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Doing stadiums in his hometown.
Yeah.
Who said he's not a superstar?
Yeah. That's real.
Who said he's not a superstar? But we don't know him.
Mm-hmm. But to me, they have to decide that, and you know this, we have to decide at that moment. Like, you got to almost look at your money and be like, damn, 40 million monthly listeners, we made X amount of dollars. Like it's like what you guys did. Like, signed a couple stars, made some records, made a whole lot of money. What do we want to do next? And I think that you guys decided to take another path because you guys wanted to go somewhere else. And I think that an artist has to sit down and say, okay, I got 40 million monthly listeners. I don't know, where do I want to go? Like, do we want to go bigger? Do we want to kind of, like you said, do we want to expand our fan base? Do we want to interact or we want to build with our super fans, right? Mm-hmm. Like somebody like Tech N9ne did. Like he don't give a fuck about a song on the radio.
No, but I'm just saying, like, can you name me a superstar that's come out that's post 2019?
Like a actual superstar.
Yeah, actual superstar.
Post 2019?
Yeah, like, and when I say like came out, meaning like
debut. They didn't do nothing prior to that.
Did nothing prior to. Like, if you look at all the superstars, they have, again, there's a certain thing. The threshold of becoming a household name died after 2018. It's not really that possible unless some weird shit happens that just
I was about to say, see, to me, that's what scares me, though. Right. It's like, to me, what the problem is right now with the game is that, and by the way, this is not no old mentality as much as this is just the mama mentality, is that once you get to a certain amount of money, like y'all, Tunde Sean, y'all wake up starving.
Absolutely.
Like, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, but you got an artist and they might be like, man, I made $20 million last year. I want to take a 3-year break. And you're like, what the fuck? Like, no, let's keep going. Mm-hmm. No. And they're like, no, I like where I'm at. So that's what I mean. Because the superstar means you've already made money. Mm-hmm. It's like Travis is a superstar. You've already made money, but it's bigger than money. Mm-hmm. It's about me. That's why I said the mama mentality is about me driving myself all the way to the top. Like, mm-hmm. it's, nigga, don't put me at the top of the Empire State Building. Nigga, I want to be in space. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So for me, I feel like that's missing in today's market. That's why I love putting a spotlight on the boutique companies who are in the middle of like trying to break shit like you guys are. But I'm just like, it's a different time, bro.
Yeah, but I'm saying communication can't help what you're saying, right? Like the way people even get the information to create a superstar, to create a household name, to be a stratosphere artist, it doesn't work that way anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, algorithmically, it just doesn't.
I'm trying to think, like, who's the last person? I'm trying to think who, because Billie Eilish, she came right around 15, 16.
Yep, it was before that.
Sabrina Carpenter, she hasn't hit that mark yet.
But she been,
but she, been, she was moving before that.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, I was going to say Harry Styles, but he was moving before that.
Hasn't hit that. Like, you know what? I could tell you somebody came out 2019 that's a superstar.
Who?
Megan Cardi, right?
Meg came out before 2019.
Yeah, 2019 before 2019.
Meg is like 16, 17.
Yeah, she been rapping for a while.
Easy.
Well, Lizzo came 2019 because we did that album. I remember that.
But again, she'd be making records before that.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
When did Glorilla come out?
Glorilla's not a superstar yet.
She's not really a superstar.
She's not. Like, Doja Cat came out.
But she was out 10 years.
Yeah,
she was out
before that. She's a superstar.
Yeah.
All right, well, to me, okay, so now I'm going to ask you this. This is where it gets a little like, I want to know your thoughts. Do you believe that that's the game's problem, or do you believe that's the world's problem? So what I'm saying is that, do you think that if someone had a goal, like you had a goal to make a real superstar, do you think it's impossible because of the way the game is set up, or you just think people are making so much money that they're like, shit, we doing great?
It's just the way communication is working. Again, there can be a presidential debate.
Yeah.
And Cosmonautic has more viewers than the presidential debate. That's just a fact.
That's crazy.
Right? Like,
that's,
we're talking about crazy. The future of your country.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
You got more viewers than the niggas is playing Grand Theft Auto.
Can I say, Casanata's a superstar.
You know what I'm saying?
Casanata to me is a superstar.
Yeah.
Nigga, he's a streamer, nigga. I don't know. Did anybody know a streamer? Like, I didn't know
on Twitch.
Didn't even care about what, I'm just saying, he showed you a superstar when he did that Times Square thing. And I feel like artists should be doing more spectacles.
Yeah,
like,
more
you
spectacles.
Get that. And to me, that's what makes a star.
Yeah.
The spectacle. Like,
in this climate, that's what makes a star.
Yes. It has to make the local impact. Like, you know what I'm saying?
What the fuck he had? Yeah. He shut Times Square down? Yeah. Oh my God. Like, that travels around the world. Now you're like, who is this kid? I need to know him. He got that much power. Now brands are coming. People are coming. All he did was give away a PlayStation.
Yeah.
To his audience.
So it's almost like a bunch of impact moments or situations.
Yes. And that's what I was asking. You have to flex what your actual reach is. You can't just flex it on the internet. Like, we gotta see it in real life. We gotta see it in real life.
And if you're doing it in real life, make sure somebody capture that shit.
Yeah.
So now we see fucking 6,000 people singing your song. We see you differently now. Yeah. Like, damn. Like,
am I missing
like,
out?
Like, damn, there it is.
You know what I'm saying?
You get it, bro. Like, that's why, but to me, I feel like the business is not ran by people who care.
Sorry, not like, go ahead. I know you don't have much time, but like, even to go back to what I was saying, again, how communication is happening, which is just like Donald Trump, right? Look at how he's marketing himself to be the president, right? He's not doing the traditional outlets.
I always say that.
He's going to go see the podcasters.
Yep.
He's going to see the streamers. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Again, understanding how communication is working, right? Like, instead of him doing his thing with Joe Biden, he went to go do the thing with the Fox dude, the old Fox dude.
Yeah.
What's his name, right? Who has his YouTube channel. And,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They get on Twitter with Elon. The man does more viewers than anything, right? So again, it lets you know how communication is happening. So it's so fragmented that like the idea of having a superstar where, you know, they debut your song on 106 and Park and that shit's gone.
Yeah.
Nigga, nah.
Yeah.
Like, nah, that shit nigga. Is not happening.
It's no you more 15 minutes of fame. It's only 15 seconds.
That's 15 seconds.
15 seconds. You got, you got to be smart enough to know how to make them 15 seconds go 15.
Keep
you got to a minute. Hey, don't be excited. We still got like 60 more of those to go before we get to 15 minutes, my nigga. And then so it's like, but you can't get caught up in the moment.
I feel like the ones that don't, like, you know, and Jimmy Iovine said the best thing to me where he was just like, like, yo, you're on borrowed time. What are you going to do with it? Mm. Right? And I feel like the artists that keep going are the artists that are always paranoid, which is bad for your fucking health. But
I'm so glad you said that. It's almost like you have to keep your head in the swivel to work. Like, I'm talking about the one thing that the most successful people I knew had in common. Like, I'm talking about, like, when you get to that level of, like, billionaire status, is that they're always paranoid.
Yeah.
They always worry something's coming different. They always worry somebody's going to take their spot. Like, there's a famous story where Jay-Z comes in the room and he'd be like, 50 Cent is coming. Nigga, I'm telling y'all, so y'all get in our shit. But then a year later, here go Jay in a commercial with him, a Reebok commercial. Like, nigga, it's business as usual, but nigga, I'll try to tell y'all, get out there. What's good, y'all? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee, and I'm here to talk to you about YKTV Magazine, which is the number one magazine for prison entertainment. These prisoners are sitting in jail. They have nothing to do but read these magazines and read your ads, buy your music, support your business, anything that you can do that's online commerce. They already have published over 140 magazines with 36 major artists that have covered it. And I'm giving you an opportunity to advertise this magazine and get directly to an audience that you know has the time and the money to spend. Info at the bottom, info at the God Show. Holla at us, whether you're an artist, producer, whoever you are. We can help you with your business. Holla at us to get to YKTV. Before you come in, so to me, it's a lot of that. But man, I could talk to you all day. Last question. Not even question, statement. If you had to, if every artist that is coming up that wants to be in his music business is looking right now and watching us right now, and they're looking at the companies that are changing and the losing their jobs and the game is kind of going, and the game is basically in the cleanse right now, right? What would you say to them? Fuck the industry. What would you say to those artists or those young managers about where the game is and what they need to focus on?
I think it gets down to the essence of what we've been talking about this whole show.
Yes.
Which is just like, work on yourself, on your craft, right? Like, at the end of the day, you know, sometimes you just being that good just turns you into a business, right? And say I think that and I think that like I think that chasing things or chasing this industry, which is always evolving, and by the way, the music industry is always the slowest industry ever.
Yes.
We're the last to ever innovate. We are behind. We fight everything. I mean, it took some technology niggas to come basically take it over.
Period.
Right? And that's just because we've been greedy for so long.
Yes.
Right? So again, if you're an artist and you're watching everything that's happening, number one, like, I think that you need to start to build your team. Start to build your team. Find your, before you do any of that, make sure your shit's right. Like, make sure you're good.
Yes.
Make sure you're actually good at what you do. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got some traction. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and by the way, you can find out if you're good. If you got 1,000 followers and no one cares, you can't, it's not that you're gonna get 500,000 followers and people gonna care. If them 1,000 people don't care, no one's gonna care,
right? And I always say, when people come up to me and be like, yo, like, can you put me on, I'm like, listen, the reality of this shit is that this industry is merciless.
Yes.
Right? So if you're asking me to put you on, I tell them something, you're not going to make it.
Nope.
You're not going to make it.
Nope.
Because you don't even have the you don't even have the mentality to understand why you're not going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't just walk up to the greatest in the game and say, yo, like,
put me on.
Coach me.
Yeah.
Like, nigga.
He's showing you every day on the court what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Last thing, one more thing.
I got something too.
I want something about the international part.
Mm-hmm.
South Africa?
Yes. You guys are like branching off into, like, I see you guys just on the country, black artists. Mm-hmm. I see, like, Tunde is always on a damn plane overseas.
Yeah, he's on the way to Australia right now.
He's
Australia?
Always in on some international stuff. Like, you guys, I feel like you guys are betting on the world. exactly, right? You live in the air. But I feel like you guys are betting on the world. Like, you're betting that the world is going to come together musically, because it's like you guys have like art, so you just branched off into South Africa, you just have an artist with Legos. Like, what's like What do you know?
No, I've been praying for this moment, and I'm so glad that you asked this question, because I've never been able to share this out loud, even though I can just flip my phone to do it. But it's better here. I'm glad you asked this question. I've been waiting on this moment because I've had this theory forever.
Okay.
And my theory is the reason why Taylor Swift is the biggest artist in the world is because there are more white people than they are black people in America mm-hmm. that have access to the internet. Ooh. Right?
Okay.
Cool. Let's just, for easy math, let's just say there's 100 million white people and there's 20 million black people.
Yep.
Right? So now you're led to believe that your music ain't that popular.
Yeah.
Or you're not that hot. Or you're not as big as Taylor. You're not, because you're not making as much money.
Yeah.
But I'm like, the 300 million niggas in Lagos alone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Alone.
Yep.
Okay. It's another 100, 200 in South Africa. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
If you take the whole continent of Africa, is that a 1.5 billion, too?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Shit. Kendrick Lamar, the minute fucking everybody in Lagos has Wi-Fi, he might have 1,000, 1 billion followers on Instagram.
Mm.
Because there's a lot of niggas that look like him, that relate to him,
yep.
that can actually follow and engage with him.
Yep.
That's how I see it.
Yeah.
Right? So we're early in the space of music, and we're early in the space of entertainment, but like, the minute like everybody starts getting access, because smartphones, everybody has them,
yes.
now, right? But the Wi-Fi is expensive.
Yes.
Right?
In Africa. Okay.
Yeah. So like, once it starts becoming easier and more people keep getting it, more people, bro, we become a dominant force. It's the reason why China has been kicking our ass as a global force for so long, because they have so many people to where they're self-sufficient.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? That's and fire. black people and black music and urban music in general, like, nigga, you know what I mean? Niggas like, love Ja Rule in Accra, Ghana.
Yeah.
Like, if Ja Rule goes to Ghana right now, he's gonna get the bag.
Yeah.
Because we love the music. Mm. And they love the music. And at the end of the day, it's just like, I think we look at ourselves in the United States, we gotta realize that we're jaded.
Mm.
Right? Like, a lot of these countries, like, they've been having to just watch and be fans.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, they still appreciate their stars.
Mm.
Right? They're not as jaded as, you know what I'm saying? Which is why Latin music is so big.
Yeah.
Right? Because Brazil figured out Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
That's real as fuck. You know what I'm saying? Woo! They figured it out. And I'm just saying, like, we're here.
Yeah, we need a black billionaire to really focus on giving Africa Wi-Fi. That'd probably change the black economy by far, because now we could sell everything and we could. That's crazy. I never thought about that.
Well, I mean, if you really, really, really go deep down on the surface, the nigga that owns Vivendi, you know, he got into a little bit of trouble, but like, Vivendi is the company,
the parent company.
Universal,
and you know, a bunch of other big companies. But you know, they're putting some Wi-Fi in these countries in Africa, because they understand what this is going to do for their streaming market.
Period.
Damn, you know what I'm saying?
I love that.
Yeah.
So this is everybody. Let's give it up for Justice Wear Cool Pants, my dog right here. You a smart dude, bro. I wanted to do this like this because I want to do something big with all you guys, because I came up. By the way, and I got a shout out to Amber.
Amber Bacardi, shout out to Amber.
Amber is my boss.
Bro, she is probably the most smartest. She's probably one of the smartest women in this shit. Like, people.
Yeah, people.
Period.
I was about to say.
No, but the reason I say women is because when she comes in the room, you just see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm trying to say? Mm-hmm. Like, she'll come and she's a pretty girl, but if she opens her mouth, and you're like, you're going to be the president of the United States. Mm-hmm. Like, she gives you that vibe. No, real talk, right?
Absolutely.
That's what I mean by, like, and that's different for her. So I just want to shout out your team. But I want to do something right with you guys. But I also want to talk to you. And we got to get Justice on That's Debatable. Because this nigga.
So That's Debatable is different.
That's a whole other show.
Okay. Yeah, this is for the artist. That is for us to argue. But this is information show.
Like, got you,
this
you,
is the show where all the artists are watching.
Okay.
That's for like the culture watching. You just want to hear who's the better. Like, us arguing about Drake and Kendrick, that was the episode of That's Debatable. That's what it looks like. But I like to argue, so that's what I did. But shout out to our sponsor, Two Loss. Shout out to Justice. Shout out to LVRN. And shout out to everything that they're doing. I would just suggest that anybody young and black watch these guys. They showed us what together looks like. They showed us what friends can really do if they put egos to the side and focus on what they're good with. And I just want to give you some props for that, brother, because I love that shit, man.
I appreciate that.
On some real black man shit.
Congrats on everything
I love
you're bringing,
thank
man.
You, bro.
Like you, what you're building. And Man, songwriter of the year.
Yo, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it, man. That's
legendary shit. And yeah. also, like, fuck all that. Fuck the who you work with. Like, nigga, what you're building.
Thank you.
Like, as an individual and as an entity. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, nah.
It's like, y'all, it's like, I look at it all the same. Yeah. Like, a hit song is the same thing as hit content.
Yeah.
A hit interview is the same thing as a fucking hit meme. It's mm-hmm. all the same. You just need to put something out there that hits. And mm-hmm. if it does, then you figure out how to turn it into money.
Yeah.
But don't worry about the money before you worry about the hit. That's what most people make the mistake. They want the money, the masters, they want all my masters. Like, dog, learn this shit first.
Yeah.
Run the marathon. Sign to somebody for 3 years, for two or three albums. To, like they did, they worked the Interscope. Learn what they learned, build their own Interscope now. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, niggas want to be Prince without being Prince.
Yes, bro. I just had to say that, man. Shout out to everybody watching. This Artist Spotlight. We are out. Let's go.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.